Welcome to the August 20th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is entitled, Abiding in Jesus. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Hope everyone is doing well this morning as we come in to get settled for worship. Several announcements I'll make. We do want to get a record of everyone's attendance this morning as you're coming in. There are pew pads on every pew. They are on the inside aisle for every pew, and we invite you to take those, members and guests alike, to fill these out. Members, we invite you to put your name and check the appropriate boxes, and then any contact information that has changed, put that there as well. Also, guests, we invite you to fill out all the information on those forms as you feel comfortable, and let everyone in the sanctuary this morning to sign their name up so we have a good record of who was here this morning. We appreciate you helping us with that. If you send it down after you sign it to the end of the pew, and then when it reaches down there all the way to the back where it started so our ushers can pick those up later in the service, that would be great. Other announcements I'll make this morning for our it is the morning for children's celebration. We're going to need to reschedule that. There will be no children's celebration this morning, but there will be a special event next week for children and for youth. It is our Sunday school promotion celebration day next week, next Sunday. We're inviting all children, all youth, and their parents to Smith Hall at 9:30 next Sunday morning. And then we will have a time of food together. There will be a program with a special guest next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And then there will be a time for everyone to go to their new classes and to get situated to where they'll be going for their new Sunday school class. And then we will come in here for worship for our service of affirmation. This will be the second time that we have done this service. We did it at the beginning of last school year. This is an opportunity for all of us to come together and to ask God's blessing on the new school year, as well as all the children, all the teenagers, all the teachers, all the parents, all the educators, the administrators, everyone who's involved in education this year. We will have a time of prayer for them next week, and so that will be a special service. We hope that you can come and be a part of that. And then everyone will have opportunity as an adult to sign up to be a prayer partner for a student in our ministry. Every child, youth, and college student will have an envelope out on a table outside right near the welcome desk where every adult who is willing and able to pray for an individual will pick up an envelope next week, and that will be their prayer partner for the rest of the year. Inside that envelope will be a sheet of paper with the name, the address, the birthday, all the vital statistics for their child, youth, or college student. And we just invite adults to be a part of that as they feel comfortable. We do want you to know this is the second year that we have done this ministry. If either the child, youth, or the adult would like to continue with your current prayer partner, let me know this week. Otherwise, you will be reshuffled and you can get a new prayer partner next Sunday morning. So if you have any questions about that or adults, what that means for you, just please let me know. It's a very simple way to impact the children, youth, and college students in our church, and we appreciate your willingness to be a part of that. The family ministry team, we were going to have a meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock. I'd rather meet for 5 minutes right after church than meet for an hour at 5 o'clock. Is that a deal? If you're a family ministry team, meet with me for 5 minutes. That's preschool, children, youth, councils, and the Family Enrichment Committee. We'll meet just right down here for about 5 minutes right after church this morning. Our Sunday afternoon schedule, 6:15, we invite you to come and to bring some food for you and your family. We'll be eating out on the lawn this afternoon. And then at 7 o'clock, Cindy Johnson will be leading our life service. So we hope that you come and to be a part of that. Our life service is our contemporary worship service that happens every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. So we hope that you can be a part of that. Reminder also, this Wednesday, we have our summer schedule continues. At 6:30, we'll have our salad and sandwich supper. And then at 7 o'clock, we will be doing our 12 Extraordinary Women of the Bible series as that continues. And I think, last announcement. Next Sunday afternoon, actually next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we'll be having Sunday night at the park. That is a time when we get together out on the lawn. We'll cook hamburgers and hot dogs at 6 o'clock next week and have all the fixings for that. We want you to come as bring your lawn chairs. We'll provide the food. You provide the people that want to eat the food, and we will do that at 6, and then at 7 o'clock have the life service. So we hope that you can come and be a part of that. Also, lots of announcements this morning. As school is getting started, that means our College Park stuff is kicking back up. For our College Parkers, we invite you to come this Thursday for our College Parkers. We're having a men's singing group that will come. No go-go dancers or anything. That's what I heard. It's supposed to be a men's singing group. So come and be a part of that for a good time this Thursday at lunchtime. Also, there is a new Sunday school class that will be beginning next Sunday morning. This is for all the 20-somethings or so who have just gotten out of college. They are singles, and they are looking for a Sunday school class just for the beginning a career or finding jobs and that kind of thing. Mary Nell Page and Alice Wilson will be leading this Sunday school class, and they will be starting next week at 9:30 in the Adult One area. So we want you to come and be a part of that. If you have questions, please let me know. You can ask them also. It's going to be a great new class to begin the Sunday school year with. I think that's all the announcements. Whew, that's a lot of them. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. Guests, you've already given us your information in the pew pads a few moments ago. We would like for you to raise your hand so that we can give you something this morning. If you're a guest, just lift your hand up as our ushers come down the aisles. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet is things... who College Park is, what we believe in, things that we do as a body of believers. And we want you to find out this information and pray that that God may draw you to this place and be a part of the people at College Park Baptist Church. We appreciate you being here for worship this morning. Worship is one of the best things that we do at College Park. Regardless of our age, regardless of where we come from, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we can join our hearts together in worship to glorify His name. For those who have committed their lives to Him, we are committing this hour to worshiping Him and glorifying His name. The way that we begin that is our invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that you will find in your bulletin. This morning is based on Psalm 133. I invite you to stand now for our responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Praise the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. You may be seated. pray together. Father, on this morning, remind us. Remind us of why we are here. Sometimes it can become routine to come to church because it's Sunday morning and that's what we're supposed to do. We wake up and we put our nice clothes on, or we grab our Bibles, we jump in the car, and we come here. Sometimes we do the Sunday school thing, sometimes we come straight to worship. It's so easy just to be something that we do. Father, remind us this morning that worship is what we were meant to do. Worship, whether it's in a sanctuary like this, or worship if it's in your creation. Wherever we are meant to worship. Our purpose in life is to glorify your name and to point people directly to you. Never let Sunday school or worship or our faith become routine. You have given us life this day. You have given us a place to come and to see other believers, to join our voices and our hearts together to glorify your name. For you alone are worthy, and to you alone we give our worship this morning, because it was meant to be. In Christ's name, amen.
Let us join together as we share in the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture. I'll be reading first this morning from the Old Testament in the first book of Kings, beginning in chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and continuing in chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be one located near you in the pew. Feel free to read along. From 1 Kings, chapter 2. Then David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. He had reigned 40 years over Israel, 7 years in Hebron, and 33 in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established. And continuing in chapter 3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Now continuing in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." May God bless the reading and understanding of His holy word. As we enter into a time of pastoral prayer, I'd like to share one special prayer request with you. Our own dear friend and pastor emeritus, Foy Martin, has had a little bit of a difficult situation this morning. He found some way to leave the confines of the place where he stays, Brighton Gardens. And as of our last report this morning, he had still not been located. Some from our fellowship are helping with that. But let's pray a special prayer for Reverend Foy, Miss Ethel Lee, Sherry, as they seek to find him and return him home this morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, your blessings to us are more numerous than we could ever count. Just as you blessed David and Solomon, you continue to bless us every day far more than we deserve and in far more ways than we could think of or ask for. Among those many blessings is the ability to come directly to you in prayer, to speak to you, have communion with you. Lord, we thank you for that blessing. We come to you in prayer this morning with many things on our mind, many things on our heart. Lord, you know better than we what our needs are. The needs of our bodies, the needs of our minds, the needs of ourselves and our families and our church. Lord, we bring that to you this morning. Also among your many blessings, Lord, is the ability to come to you in prayer and intercede for others, our fellow brothers and sisters, not only in Christ, but those who do not even know you. Lord, we want to come to you in prayer this morning for all those around us who need your strength and your guidance and your love. Lord, please be with the Martin family this morning. We can only try to identify what they're going through, but we know that you're watching over your dear servant, Foy Martin. Bring him back safely, Lord, and help him to have a restful day and recovery. Lord, we pray a special prayer for this church and the people of this church. Lord, we seek for this not to be a church about what we are about or what we want. We seek to serve you through this church to do everything it does in your Son's name. Lord, bless us. Help us to see ways that we may serve our people, the people around us in this neighborhood, people everywhere who need your love, that need to feel what only you can provide, the love and grace that you have in store for them. Lord, lead us. Let this church be about you and everything that you have in store for it. Lord, thank you for these blessings that you give us, too numerous to count. Thank you for allowing us to come to you in prayer. Hear the concerns of our hearts. Hear the needs not only that we recognize, but more importantly, the ones that you recognize. Bless us as we try to serve you. And thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Before we pray, I'd like to make an announcement. I didn't ask permission, so I hope this is okay. But y'all have heard me come up here in years past and speak on behalf of the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministry that every year during the month of September, we have our one fundraising event we have every year called Hymns for Hope. Well, we're doing that different this year, and instead of having Hymns for Hope, these different choirs come in and do the musical presentations we've had in the past, we've got a special speaker this year on Friday night, September the 15th, at Reynolds Auditorium. We're going to have Tony Evans, and quite frankly, I guess I don't listen to the right radio stations or whatever, but I'd never heard of him, but he is an African-American evangelist, and I think I'm the only person that hasn't heard of him. And so this is a big deal, apparently. I know when I told Trudy, she was all excited about it. And so anyway, so it's good. But it's going to be at Reynolds Auditorium on Friday night, September the 15th. And Friday night's a little odd. We usually do it on Sunday, but that's the only time we could get him. He's actually coming in Friday for this. He's going to speak at the jail and prison Saturday morning, and he's got to be back somewhere else Saturday afternoon, so his schedule's full. But the one thing I want to tell you is I'm going to be putting some stuff in the church office. There are some tickets in there, and, of course, you don't have to have a ticket to get in. Anybody can come, but we are going to rope off the best seats right down front in Reynolds Auditorium for the people that do have tickets. And I think I've got 20, and we're distributing other tickets to other churches as well. So if you want a ticket, they'll be in the church office. And there'll also be a sign-up sheet in there. And if you'd like to come, we'd love to have everybody. Just please sign that sheet. We're just trying to get some idea of the head count. We're expecting a lot of people, and we're going to accommodate everybody somehow. No one will be turned away. We'll do something. But that will be at Reynolds Auditorium on September the 15th at 7:30, I believe. Tony Evans. So mark it down. We'd love to have everybody there. But the tickets and this sign-up sheet will be in the church office. I'll bring them up tonight when I come for life and leave them in there. Thanks for your patience on that. I appreciate it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be together, and as we offer our praise and thanksgiving for everything you blessed us with, we do want to remember the Martin family this morning and what they're going through at this time. And we know we got a lot of college students moving back in this weekend, so pray for their safety as they travel, as they move, for them and for their parents. And we know we got Wes and Barbie Morgan are in Honduras, going to be traveling back, and I know there are others, but please watch over them. But at this time, dear Lord, we want to take a special moment to thank you for all the many blessings you've given us, especially for the financial resources we have that allow us to live in a way that most people in this world cannot even imagine. And now as we offer back a portion of these resources to you, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
glad to be able to tell you that they have located Foy, and he is well. He's safe. So, yes. We take a lot of things for granted, don't we? We sure do. This morning, I want to continue our reading. For the last several weeks, we've been reading from the Gospel of John, and we're going to continue from John chapter 6, and we'll be picking up with verse 51 this morning from John chapter 6, beginning in verse 51, and we'll be reading through verse 58, and we'll kind of be focusing in on verse 56, but we'll get there in just a moment. Now we're going to start in verse 51 of John chapter 6. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever." May God bless the reading and understanding of his word as we begin a study of these verses. One of Jesus' parable concludes with the declaration that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And to be honest with you, I wish I could take this particular verse 56 in that order and reverse the phrases there. Because the first few words of that phrase, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, that first part there has always been a little difficult for people. It's hard to understand, perhaps, but if only we could get to that second part, the part about remaining in Jesus, or as other translations put it, the New American Standard, the Revised Standard, and King James all say, abide in me. And I prefer that word, abiding. Abiding. The progression of thought in this passage has moved from Christological to Eucharistic language. The Eucharistic bread and wine are for the fourth gospel an extension of the incarnation in the Johannine community. So these verses claim that Eucharistic participation is conducive to personal intimacy with Jesus. Intimacy with Jesus results in life for the believer, because the Son has life in himself. And then he references from John chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, "In him was life," speaking of Jesus. And he references chapter 5, verse 26, where it says, "The Son also to have life in himself." So because the Son has life in himself, that has been granted by the Father, who has life in himself, so the line runs down from the Father, who has life himself, to the Son, who has been granted to have life in himself, to believers who have personal intimacy with the Son by means of his Eucharistic flesh and blood, and who live as a result of this personal intimacy. End quote. That is from Reading John, Charles Talbert, pages 137 through 39, portions of that. I think it's a good understanding for us to know that the language is not literal. It's one that would be understood by the people of that time, or many of the people by that time, based on what John has already reported within the context of his gospel. And of course, the life that John is speaking of, that is as he's quoting Jesus, and as Talbert has referenced, the life that they're speaking of is not a temporary existence. It's not something that begins when we're born physically and something that ends when we pass away and go into the presence of the Father. What he's talking about is eternal life. It's an eternal life that earthly food cannot nourish. If we back up into verse 48, which we read last week, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So what's at stake is eternity. What's at stake is eternal life. And the eternal symbolic language that's being passed along here is picked up in verse 57 and 58, as we've already read. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers, and he repeats this again, your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Eternity. Eternity is what's at stake. But where we may have differing views, and churches do, denominations do, religions do, have different views on what the bread and what the wine, if you will, may become during communion, what should be constant is our understanding of the second half of the verse. I think the most important part of this verse, because in that it says, abides in me and I in them. Jesus said, as you take the bread and the wine, you abide in me and I in you. Abide. Abide is a word that translates in Greek to dwell. To dwell. To take up residence, literally. To take up residence, to dwell in. And this is not the only time that John uses this phrase. Later, as Jesus is talking about how he's going to depart from them, how his departure is imminent, and the community of faith is becoming very nervous, very anxious, Jesus in chapter 15, verse 5, says to them, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, how does it finish? Bear much fruit. Abide in me and I in them, it will bear much fruit. So abiding is not a solitary act. Abiding in Jesus is an act that makes us community. Not only does it make us community with the Father, look on either side of you. I'm sorry, that's your community. Look on either side of you. Those are part of our community. That's a good thing. The community of faith. Not community just with the Father, but also with one another. It's a gift. It's a gift that God has given. Jesus offers that not as a hurdle. Not as a hurdle to where we can go out there and say, well, depending on what your viewpoint of this particular verse is or that particular verse or whatever, you may not measure up to our, of course, correct understanding of that passage. It's not put there for a hurdle. It's not put there for a hurdle to make sure that everybody agrees with exactly how we do business as a church. It's not put there as a hurdle to make sure there's some sort of artificial standard that we hold. Well, if you're a good Christian, you walk and talk and behave just like that. That's not what it's about. Abiding in Jesus is grace. It's grace that is given to us. It's grace that is given for us, and it's given from Jesus' hands. In John's account of the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, whatever you want to call it, in John's account of that, at the outset of this chapter, it really kind of began this whole conversation. If you remember over the last several weeks, that's really what started this whole thing. Of the feeding and the bread and what all that means. That's what started it. And in John's account, Jesus feeds the people from his own hands. The Synoptic Gospels are maybe intentionally or unintentionally a little bit vague on those details. But in all of them, Jesus blesses the food and then it's distributed. In John's account, it says specifically that he fed them, and he fed them till they didn't want any more, till they were full. The details there they're setting up an intriguing precedent for what the narrative happens, what happens with the narrative when it reaches this passage. the part we're thinking about this morning. As you get to this point, Jesus says, abide in me. If you take this bread, if you eat of my flesh, if you drink of my blood, if you do these things, you abide in me. So, who gets to determine whether the eating and the drinking is done in the right spirit or the proper understanding? Who gets to do that? The one who fed the multitudes. The one who offers himself, literally, the one who offers himself to us. The living bread. The bread of life. The living water. The eating and the drinking of those gifts is what brings us into the presence. That's what allows us to abide in Jesus. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. So abide is what's at the heart of the verse, even as it's at the heart of John's gospel. Abiding in Jesus drives practically every story that's in the gospel of John. Go back and read it. It's an abiding, that is the purpose that we see in chapter 3. As John goes to Nicodemus, encounters him, and reveals to Nicodemus the watershed verse, John 3:16. It's about abiding in Jesus and him in us. It's an abiding with the power to heal and to restore and to make new that occupies the whole context of the miracles that John reports, which make up the structure of the first half of this book. It's an abiding in compassion that wells up in Jesus' prayer in his time and in all time for the disciples in chapter 17. It's an abiding that entrusts Mary to the beloved disciple at the cross. It's an abiding presence that comes to us as Jesus left us and sent the Holy Spirit. It's an abiding that commissions the apostles to feed the sheep of Jesus' flock. Abiding with us. Abiding in us and us in him. So when we come and we run across this verse, next time hopefully that you're reading through John and you encounter this verse, remember. So when we think about the body and the blood, what does that mean exactly? The bread and the wine? The invitation to come? Understand, it's not about us. It's not about our credentials, if you will. It's not about our own merit. It's not about anything that we can bring to the communion. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and what he offers. The fact that he offers us to come and to drink. And in doing so, to celebrate the gift of eternal life. In doing so, to enjoy abiding, the fellowship, the intimate experience of being in Christ and him in us. A gift that he gives as we gather in Jesus' name. I'll be honest with you. There are many that talk about the mystery of that verse. And the mystery for me is not in when Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. I don't think that's the mystery. I think John has laid the groundwork for that. We're talking about the bread of life. We're talking about living water. That part is not as mysterious for me as when Jesus said that he wanted to abide in us. It's not as mysterious to me as why in the world would God love the world so much that he gave his only son? That's the mystery. The mystery is why in the world would God want intimate fellowship with us, knowing who we are and how we behave, what we think, what we do? Why would the Son of God desire intimate fellowship with us? That's the greatest mystery that I don't have the answer for. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in awe. We come to you with a humble spirit because we know that it's nothing that we do, Father. It's about you. It's about the sacrifice of your Son. And quite honestly, we don't understand that kind of love and that kind of sacrifice. Because we confess that we're selfish beings. We tend to look out for ourselves first and everyone else after that. So forgive us of that arrogance. Forgive us of those times when we put you last. And if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we'll know that that's more often than sometimes we want to admit. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us when we seek to serve ourselves. And give us the courage and the understanding of knowing that the gift of Jesus Christ is a literal gift of fellowship. It's a gift of coming together and experiencing the sacrifice and the nature of His sacrifice. Give us the courage to accept that. And the understanding of knowing what you desire for us, and that's to be more like you. To surrender all that we are and all that we have so that we can become more like you. Touch our hearts in these moments to show us where we need to surrender more completely to you. Whether it be a relationship, whether it be a material item, whether it will be our own plans and our own goals in life. Father, it may even be our children. Help us to surrender all that we are to you. Father, we love you and we say that we love you. And you know our hearts. You know that we do. Help our words and our deeds and our thoughts and our motivation to match up with what we say with our mouths. It's in Jesus' name that we ask all of these things and for His sake. Amen. As we've come together this morning in worship, I hope that you have experienced the kind of abiding love and the comfort and the peace that comes from that. The presence of the Holy Spirit here in worship, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your own heart and in your own life. And hopefully God has taught you things through worship this morning. Abiding in Him is a difficult concept sometimes because we put physical expectations on that. But I hope this morning that we've stepped a little beyond that. And I hope that as you progress through this week that your prayer will be that God will continue to show you how you can be more like Him. Perhaps you would like to respond to that in a public way. We're going to stand in just a moment and we're going to sing. And I want to invite you, if you're not a believer, this was some really strange stuff this morning. And I understand that. If you're not a believer, I want to share with you how you can accept Jesus Christ. And I'd love to do that following the service or in the time of invitation this morning or this week. Feel free to give me a call. I'd be glad to meet with you and talk with you and pray with you about that. But if you want to make that public this morning, if you've accepted Christ and never made it public, we want to give you a chance to do that. If you are a believer but you would like to have your life more closely in tune with what God wants you to do, maybe you'd like to recommit yourself to Christ. We want to give you the opportunity to do that. Perhaps you're a believer and would like to join in the fellowship. I had you look on either side of you. This is our fellowship. This is our community. We're very proud of that, not in a haughty or prideful sense, but because God has put us together. We enjoy that fellowship, and maybe you would like to join us. We invite you to do that. There's many ways that we accept members, and I'll share with you about that. Perhaps you would just like to come and pray. Maybe pray that God's Spirit would be free to move among this place. Offer up a prayer of thanksgiving. Whatever your heart's desire, we want to make that opportunity available to you as we stand together and as we sing together.
come this morning to let you know that he is public, and he's accepted Jesus Christ, and he wants to make that public. That's been a while back, but he told me, he said, now I know that I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven, and that's all settled, but he wants to make it official this morning and come by profession of faith, by baptism, and the full membership in the church. If you will rejoice and pray for him, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
And angels in heaven rejoice too. So that's all about that. If at the end of the service, if you would come by following the benediction and response, if you would come and greet him and read it, would you come stand with your baby boy? I know you're proud of this. Let's stand together now for the benediction. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we rejoice and we praise you for who you are. And even though we don't understand all the mystery that's involved in you and your Son and the sacrifice and giving of the Holy Spirit, Father, we thank you. We come as thankful people. We come as people who desire to be obedient. Guard our steps. Guide our paths. Give us peace.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.